Today on the TV Time Machine, we welcome Rod Demery of Murder Chose Me. Mr. Demery is one of the nation's most successful homicide detectives, serving 14 years with the Shreveport, Louisiana Police Department. As lead detective with their violent crimes unit, Mr. Demery achieved a remarkable 100% solve rate. Over the next segment, Rod Demery will talk about how the murder of his mother when he was a young boy led to his career in law enforcement, which is chronicled in the new docuseries Murder Chose Me, which airs Wednesdays at 10 p.m. only on Investigation Discovery. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to mete out a little justice, feel free to feel justified in doing so as we interrogate a dark and distant past in order to gain the ultimate confession in the present. Rod, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, Rod, tell us about yourself and why the title of your series is Murder Chose Me.
Well, I'm a retired police officer, retired homicide investigator, where I worked homicide for about 16 years. My show is about a bunch of the cases that I worked. We're going to highlight a bunch of those cases and do some reenactments, and I think it'll be well worth to watch.
Now, there are certain tragedies that were visited upon your family in the past that has influenced yourself and your career. Tell us about that.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was 3 years old. My mother was murdered. Fast forward up to the age of in my early 20s, my brother actually committed a separate murder. After putting all the pieces together, I realized that this was something that was destined for me. I think exactly as the title, you know, Murder Chose Me. I was given a certain set of circumstances that are pretty unique, and with that, it you know, the job just seemed to be a natural thing for me to do.
So, at what point in your life did you decide to enter law enforcement and pick that particular career specifically?
You know what? I don't think there was ever a point in my life when I didn't think I was going to be in law enforcement. I mean, as a kid, I played cops and robbers. I was a cop, so I knew that was it. Throughout my career, I worked narcotics, robbery, burglary, sex crime, just about all of it. But murder, when I went to homicide, that was pretty much the fit. And I knew once I had my first case that was what I was supposed to do.
So why do you think you were able to break the cycle of violence in your world?
Well, I often ask myself that question, especially after I turned 40 and we start to reexamine things. And, I don't know that I ever had the opinion or took the position where I thought, why is this happening to me? It was more of a, why have I survived this? Why was I the one left? And I realized that, just from a spiritual background, that it was mapped for me. I mean, that was God's plan for me, and that's where I was supposed to go. It seemed so natural, and it seemed to be, just a part of me for so long that I think it just kind of worked out that way.
Now, you had a 100% solve rate as lead detective in Shreveport, Louisiana. How were you able to accomplish that amazing number?
I think, it's just, I think it was an instrument. I think I just did what was natural for me. I think some of the technical aspects of it, or the more layman aspects of it, are, I think, interrogation and interview was probably my strong point. And I think the success in that was that I was able to see both sides of it. So there was not a point where I didn't understand, realize, and empathize with the murder victims' families or witnesses or even the suspect and their families, because there's a difficult balancing act, where you have to be able to separate the crime from the criminal, and you have to see the real person and behind the tragedy and on the victim side. So I think the fact that I experienced both sides of that coin, that it was just easy to relate, and I think once you begin that conversation, it just kind of flows from there.
Now, part of your 100% solve rate was your mother's own case. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I always had questions about my mother's murder. She was murdered in 69. Back then, equal rights hadn't completely evolved. Women were more property than anything. And then it was aggravated by the fact it was a segregated South. So there wasn't a whole lot done with my mother's murder. There were a couple of different stories presented by the guy who actually killed her. Well, as I got older and more versed in police work, I was able to obtain the police reports, autopsy reports, talk to some of the people from back in the day when it happened, and I was able to put it together, and I found out exactly what happened, located and spoke with the man who killed her, and it was a point where there was a lot of, you know, I hate to use the word closure, but a lot of closure, defining, it kind of defined who I was and what this was all about.
Well, the fellow you talked to, I believe his first name was Jerry, and you talked with him in the hospital. What was that conversation like?
Well, I actually videotaped the conversation, my questions were pretty basic questions. I wanted to know what happened. I wanted to get a feel for his reason and for, you know, taking my brother from my brother and I, or my mother from my brother and I, and just have him look at me, and I wanted him to look me in the face and explain it to me. I think the biggest part of that, though, was I didn't know that I had that forgiveness or that capacity for forgiveness. And, you know, it kind of worked out where I kind of defined who I was and my ability to kind of separate the criminal from the crime. And I actually felt pity for the guy, to be quite honest. I often say it's the first time that I actually prayed for someone sincerely and realized the forgiveness, and it was tremendous as far as my ability to move on.
Did he show remorse or contrition, anything like that?
No, I think, and I don't know that I expected that. I think he had gotten away with it for so long, and I think he had told that same lie for so long that he began to believe it himself. But, you know, that really wasn't my reason for talking to him. I wanted to pull it out and find out what exactly he was thinking and feeling. And, you know, it was simple. It was a domestic violence type situation, obsession, and all those things that make people resort to those, desperate acts and not realizing the fallout. I think the other part of it was I wanted to let him know that, there I was still.
In light of that, are murderers a special breed, or given the right pressures and circumstances, is anyone capable of killing another human being?
Yeah, I think it's a very primitive action, and I think everybody has the ability to do it. I think that some people just don't have the mechanism that stops them before they get to that point. I think it's an impulsive crime, short of a murder for hire or serial killers or people that are seriously mentally ill. I think it's an adult that gets to a point where they feel hopeless, not unlike suicide, where they figure the only answer is that permanent solution. And I think it resides in just about everybody, but I think modern society and civilized people kind of refrain from it for whatever reason. Maybe it be the deterrent of prison, maybe it be a moral code, but for the most part, people can suppress that. Some people just can't.
Now, several of your cases are being featured on Murder Chose Me. Tell us about that. What sort of cases are going to be covered?
Well, there's a wide variety of cases, and specifically cases that involve one particular case involves a young teenager that was pregnant at the time of her murder, a sailor who was dispatched while he was in the Navy to respond to the 911 tragedy, and once he arrived back home, was murdered. There are all these different types of cases that kind of touch you and move you in different ways. Another case where two children witnessed their mother being murdered during the home invasion robbery. So there are so many different types of murders, but they're all the same. You know, the tragedy is the same, the pain, the heartbreak, it's all the same. And I think the series kind of highlights different types or different types of murders and circumstances, but they all share the same experience.
So what is it like for you to watch some of your cases depicted on Murder Chose Me? Is it cathartic for you in any way?
You know, it's different. You know, when I worked homicide, I was able to, you know, kind of suppress my feelings, emotions, and compartmentalize a lot of that stuff. As I watch the series now, and I retired back in March, so I can actually feel the actual real emotions. You know, not the suppressed police type, but the type where I actually feel it, and you know, actually express some grief and grieve. It's a very unique experience. It's almost like watching it all unfold on something I'd never seen before. So it's it's kind of inexplicable when you think about it.
And you also have John Nicholson playing you as well.
Yeah, John Nicholson's a great actor. He's the reenactment me, and he's very good. He's he and I actually became friends. You know, we started shooting this a year back, and we started the conversation a year ago, and you know, just developed a great friendship.
Rod, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.